All right, we're going to start with the first speaker, and the first speaker is Sarah Hawkins from the Canadian Cancer Society. Sarah.
Hello. I don't have a PowerPoint presentation, so I'm just going to go ahead. Good afternoon, council members. My name is Sarah Hawkins, and I am an advocacy coordinator for the Canadian Cancer Society in Edmonton and area. Thank you for this opportunity to speak today. As you are aware, the Canadian Cancer Society is concerned about the non-essential use of potentially cancer-causing pesticides on public and private property within the City of Edmonton. After carefully reviewing the report presented by City Administration, I have numerous concerns. First, the health of Edmonton citizens, especially our children, should remain at the forefront of all discussions regarding pesticides. Administration's report acknowledges the need to reduce exposure to these harmful chemicals, and it highlights the voluntary reduction of pesticide use by city staff on public lands. These initial steps are commendable. However, the report emphasizes current weed standards as the foundation for maintaining healthy and safe outdoor play spaces. Further, it portrays a cosmetic pesticide ban as a threat to that foundation of health and safety. On this matter, I cannot overemphasize the growing body of evidence linking pesticides to cancer, learning disabilities, reproductive issues, and various acute health effects. Alberta has one of the highest pesticide poisoning rates in the country. In 2006, over 1,000 pesticide poisonings were reported, and 45% of these cases involved children under the ages of 6. Pesticides do not contribute to healthy and safe outdoor spaces. The report further states that, in administration's opinion, bans have not demonstrated measurable contributions to human or environmental health. This, I feel, is a short-sighted perspective. Cancers currently linked to pesticides can take 20 to 30 years to develop. Most pesticide bans have been adopted within the last decade, making it unrealistic to determine health effects at this time. Cosmetic pesticide bans are proactive. They are based on the precautionary principle, not on the assurance of immediate tangible gains. Furthermore, pesticides are persistent. This past July, DDT, a once common herbicide, was found in the Alpine Lakes of Mount Revelstoke National Park at levels 16 times higher than what is considered safe. DDT was banned almost 40 years ago, proving that the potential risk of exposure to chemicals can linger long after they are banned. It could be devastating to delay bans on other pesticides until further evidence of harm is found. It would also be unethical to ignore the need for a ban simply because you can't measure the results within a 5-year time period. Enforceability is also highlighted as an issue in this report, but we know that most people obey the law, especially when they are in favor of it. A 2008 poll shows that 87% of Albertans support strict pesticide regulations. Furthermore, large retailers like Rona and Home Depot are voluntarily removing pesticides from their store shelves, making pesticides less accessible to those who would not abide by restrictions. A pesticide-free operations plan implemented in conjunction with the appropriate education and awareness strategy would result in the successful adoption of a pesticide ban within the City of Edmonton, and it would make a difference. In Ontario, a recent water study found a 78 to 86% decrease in concentrations of three pesticides commonly used in lawn care products only 1 year after the implementation of a provincial pesticide ban. This proves that people are not only complying with legislation, their exposure to these toxic chemicals has significantly decreased. The last issue I want to address is that of cost, and while I personally cannot speak directly to the numbers outlined by administration, I do know this. Over 170 municipalities across Canada have adopted bans, protecting over 80% of Canada's population. These municipalities deal with the same struggles that we face. They have to maintain quality sports fields, they have to adhere with provincial weed acts, and they have to balance a budget. I'd like to point out that the last 12 municipalities to enact bans did so during a recession. They did so because they respected the science and valued the health of their citizens. And as far as I know, none of them have gone bankrupt to this date. Edmonton claims to want to be the greenest city in Canada. If we ever expect to achieve that goal, we have to start believing that change is possible. A ban is feasible, and more importantly, it is necessary. Please proceed in consulting with the health community in order to draft a bylaw for further discussion. Thank you.